Hey, it's Dave Weiner here. It is, what is it, Saturday, February 2nd, 2019. So, Matthew Ingram has been doing some interesting stuff, and he's over at Columbia Journalism Review now. But I've known Matthew since pretty early blogging days. I remember when his blog just showed up, and it was interesting. It was at a time when most of the blogosphere, it seemed, was basically ranting about me, and which I now understand is just sort of actually kind of flattering. Not that I liked it, but that was just the way it is. Anyway, so they started a thing called Galley, which is, I think of it as sort of a start at the other half of journalism, which maybe it's more than the other half. Journalism is basically collecting sources into coherent and useful packages, and that's called a news story, and then just spitting out streams of those things. I say it's a first step because we haven't really formalized news that way or even built systems around news that way. If we did, then they really would be packages, and it would be just a matter of double-clicking on a package, and what you would see inside of it would be the quotes, basically, from the sources that they talk to, plus a little bit of glue that connects them. And I would think that over time, even the glue would start to disappear, because people can infer that kind of stuff. The assumption would be is here are the experts on this subject, and we've gathered their observations, their predictions, their opinions, their point of view, basically, on whatever event it is that happened. So maybe up front there would be, this is a summary of what happened. But even there are sources. Who did you talk to? Was the reporter actually there? Well, if the reporter was there, then the reporter is the source, I guess. But for most news, I don't think the reporter's actually there. So by providing a platform for people in their community, CJR's community, to just contribute. Who knows what they contribute? Whatever it is that they think of, whether it's, just the assembly of them, means that they are a resource that that Matthew can call on when he wants to. And it goes the other way. If they see something that they think he would be interested in, and by extension, other members of the community, they can post it there. And it's a level of trust. They always talk about, in journalism, the trust that the readers have for the journalists. Well, what level of trust is there going the other way? And I would argue that journalism has basically squeezed all of that out. It has just become entirely theoretical, and it's basically lip service, because, in fact, they never actually touch the people that they're writing for. They just don't have any exposure to them, any experience with them. It's like when you hear the discussions on TV when they talk about what do the voters think about this? And then they go off and talk for a bit, but they don't have any basis for believing that that's what voters actually think. That's just what they think. And, it'd be more upfront and direct, I think, and honest to say, look, this is what I think. but we all kind of understand that. But the readers can actually speak for themselves. They may say, well, this is what voters think, but they're really saying is, this is what I think. So there's that. So Matthew today, and I've been sort of thinking about, okay, that's one half of it. One half of it is the offering of a platform, a place for people to discuss and inform and hopefully create little packets that then can be assembled. This is where I think this would go or will go, is that they create little packets that then can be assembled into stories. And, this isn't exactly a stretch, because you see it all the time, stories in journalism where they just include tweets. Now, you know, how much, how far is it from that to the point where the news organization hosts the platform where the comments come from, so it doesn't have to have, you know, they complain about, you know, Twitter. They don't like Twitter. They think that it's an abusive environment. It's, I'm sure it is. I mean, you know, as I said at the outset, actually, it's interesting that I mentioned that. Is like when I first met Matthew, it was all flipped around. Everybody was mad at the blogger, not at the reporter. It just is whoever you feel is actually the gatekeeper, I think, is who people are mad at, because they're getting all the attention, and there's something inherently wrong with that, with other people getting attention. Anyway, so I keep teasing, what's the other half? The other half is, okay, so Matthew, no, let me just give you the background. So Matthew is commenting, he tags me in this tweet, so I see it, and it's a thing lamenting what has become of the blogosphere. And he says something that I've seen a lot, that he lists a few bloggers, and I'm honored to be included in the list of people who are still out there blogging who are worth following. And, you know, the lament was, I remember the day when there were, you know, huge numbers of blogs, and I could spend a whole day, you know, bouncing between them and reading different things. So the question is, and this isn't one of those, this is one of those conventional wisdom situations where nobody's actually done the research, and it's just sort of a feeling. And it is very much like what has been going on around Brian Stelter and Farhad Manjoo. They haven't done any research. It's just a feeling that they have that Twitter isn't, you know, worth the trouble or worth the pain or agony or whatever. So the question is, are there really fewer blogs now than there were in the sort of heyday of blogging? I asked the question because actually my intuition says something completely different. It says there actually are probably a lot more blogs today than there were then. Because you see blogs in places where there's no fame or glory associated with what's there. Like I just tripped across, I'm doing research on places to go bike riding in Ulster County or hikes. And it started out as hikes, and I realized I was also getting some good input on bike rides, and I think I found one that is just outstanding. By all criteria, it's just exactly what you're looking for. I'm trying to branch out from New York City bike riding to different, better bike riding. Anyway, and I came across this this blog, and let me just find it here. I know exactly where to look to find the link, I hope. Yes, it's called the Outdoor Project blog, and it's at outdoorproject.com /blognews. This is where it is. And I found this because they had a really outstanding page, very simple and to the point, about the bike ride that I'm looking forward to taking. And they also had a link at the top that said blog. It's the first link there. I click on the link and, oh, I see. That's where you can see in reverse chronological order all the really beautiful pieces they've been doing. And the pieces are beautiful. It's just like two pictures, and they're stunning pictures of where you would be doing the hike or doing the bike ride. And these are some outstandingly beautiful places. Stunning, just really. And the pictures capture the beauty of the place, and then they just have a sort of, in the left margin. Let me just find it. Let's see if I can find that. I'll just pick one. Let's see if I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, there's a beautiful picture. This is the format. There's a headline, the date, a fantastic, beautiful background picture. And then at the bottom, it says start exploring and an arrow down. It's a very well-designed site. It takes you right through it. And then on the next page, you get a bulleted list, and it looks like it's custom for each one. Let's just see. I'm going to scroll down a little bit. Yeah, I can't give you any conclusions on it. It is structured, but I'm not sure that it's entirely consistent structure. But it's, it it helps you understand the place you're at and gives you the first thing it gives you is what you really want first is a visual idea of where you're going. You know, what will the experience be like? In this case, it's a man with cross-country skis and dressed, or it could be a woman. Hold on, let me just see. Let me get closer. Yes, it's a man. He has a beard. And ski poles and mountain in the background and pine trees and snow. And it looks, you know, I don't know, it's really cold now, so it doesn't look that great to me, but it is a beautiful place, you can tell. So anyway, so yeah, there are, who knows, we haven't counted them. It's certain that the blogging experience is different today. But here's the thing, is that if you're covering a territory like CJR is covering journalism from an, I assume from an academic standpoint, since the C is Columbia, and then you might find that there are 100 really good blogs in that area, in that, you know, that are camped out in place in topics that are relevant to the community that you're serving. And I think it's also the job of the public. Now, they've done one half of it. They've created a space for people who are likely to be quoted in the CJR to communicate. And they've done it nicely, I have to say. It really is done nicely. And what if you had the flip side and you had a beautiful river that just followed all the blogs that are in your area, in your domain? That would give you the other side of it. It says that these people don't have to use your system to, I mean, who cares what they use for their content management? That's not the point. The point of a publication is to cover the topic that they've staked out. When I say topic, like I use San Jose Mercury News. It's about San Jose. Sure, they have Washington News, but it's always from the standpoint of San Jose. And so each publication has, it's really, when you break it up to its components, this is what they're doing anyway. And we might as well start by formalizing it and adding the technology and then opening it up so everybody can see it and then having the courage to reformulate the journalism according to the new capabilities of the medium. This is where I think journalism has been very reluctant to move and to not just their detriment, but to our detriment too, you know. They talk a lot about how journalism is dying, right? But they don't ask the question, who's killing it? And I think that if they really were to seriously consider the possibility that it wasn't being done to them, but it was being done by them, that it might lead them to have a little bit more courage about what ideas that they'll try. You know, we're all going to have journalism after they go away. So just thinking that, oh, well, journalism will stop when all the journalists are laid off is ridiculous. Journalism won't stop. We will have journalism. We'll find a way to do it. It is far from impossible. So, or at least I'm not ready to give up yet because we haven't really tried it yet. We haven't tried journalism in the new context. So there you go. That's the two halves. The one half is open yourself up and let your community share the space with you, at least in part on a level playing field, where there is no difference between a reporter and a user, that we are on a level playing field. This is the thing tech has done that journalism hasn't been willing to do. At least do it off in a corner somewhere. Create a space where your people don't have any advantage over anybody else. And then develop your source list and where they have a blog. Let's create a place where people can read what the blogs say without going through your journalists. Have the courage. This is called an open platform. It's what we do in technology. We try to encourage people to do. It says, I don't need to be protected. I don't need to lock in. If there's some other guy that's willing to do what I do better on whatever terms they want to do it, I am not only not going to get in the way, but I'm going to facilitate it because my first loyalty here is to the information getting where it needs to go. I will not support people being uninformed just to protect my job. That would be unethical for pretty much any profession. You wouldn't want your doctor to not save your life because it jeopardizes his job. That wouldn't be allowed, right? You don't want a judge to condemn you to death because if he didn't do it, he might lose his job. Reporting, if we do all agree that journalism is important, right? We agree that. So the idea that journalism can't happen unless you keep your job is just like those other things. It's just as bad. You can't do that. And we have to explore the new world so that our backup plan, we have a plan B and a plan C. And they might even be better than plan A. I'm betting they are. So anyway, that's my thoughts for today. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.